Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, listeners, and welcome to A Touch of Grace. I am author G.D. Grace, your humble host, and today's date is Friday, October 29th, 2010. I'm broadcasting live out of the San Francisco Bay Area in a suburb known as Palo Alto, California. I suppose I need to acknowledge the phenomenal work of our current local heroes, the San Francisco Giants, for defying the odds and winning one of two slots in the World Series. Last night's game was an absolute blowout. So outstanding, fellas, and my sincere congratulations. Tonight's show is my sixth show on Blog Talk Radio, and I'd like to personally thank the 1,000 listeners who have tuned in both live to the live broadcast and the recorded broadcast to support the talented guest appearing on A Touch of Grace. I'd also like to thank God for the blessings that continue to reveal themselves in my life, for without His love, I am nothing. So before digging into the interview portion of A Touch of Grace, I'd like to welcome my lovely and gifted literary guest, writer Lynn L. Davis, author of the innovative project for colored girls who struggle and pale girls who juggle. Welcome, Lynn. How are you on this blessed evening?
Good evening, Arthur Grace. I am wonderfully humbled and blessed and thankful to be on your show this evening.
Very good, very good. Okay, so before we get things started, I would just like to say welcome and thank you for stopping by to share your incredible story, Lynn. And so this is the part where I recite something I've written to christen the show. And tonight it is one of my original quotes called, "Keep Pressing On." Life sure has a way of reminding you that time is on its own terms. Hold on tight for the ride, because it has twists and turns that'll make your head spin. And let's not forget the forks in the road, the dips and the climbs. There are just some moments when you want to hide or hit the brakes and hop off, but then that would be too much like giving up. And if you do that, then why bother at all? Throw caution to the wind and keep pressing on. All right, Lynn. Okay, so the title of your book is called For Colored Girls Who Struggle and Pale Girls Who Juggle, and it's Poetic Works for the Daily Celebration of Womanhood. So I just want to do a temperature check right now, a creative one. What is your creative mercury sitting at right now? What level? Is it 20%, 50%, or 100%?
Tonight I'm probably at 120%. I'm excited and wanting to share this project with all the listeners.
Well, all righty then. And you know what? I'm feeling that vibe, too. Now, you know, I have to ask you just how you came up with such a powerful title for your fabulous collection. So can you enlighten the listeners how you came up with that title?
Yes, Glenn. For Colored Girls Who Struggle and Pale Girls Who Juggle, basically the premise behind this is that women, white, black, yellow, doesn't matter the denomination, the race that we are, we all have the same struggles, whether it's love, whether it's our self-image, self-esteem, whether it's motherhood. Some of us take different paths, but we all run into the same struggles at one point or another. So that's how the title was born. 12 or 14 years ago, I sat down and started putting the collection of poetry together. And in 1998, I actually copyrighted the majority of the collection of poetry. And I sat on it, and I sort of made a promise to myself that until I was ready to let this baby go to the world, that I was just going to hold it and, you know, hold it close to my breast and say, no, I can't share it yet. It's not ready to, you know, be free. And this summer, I had the opportunity to take the collection of work after winning a scholarship to the Black Writers Reunion Conference. And I took this body of work and said, okay, it's time now to record it and let people hear it. And this collection of poetry is actually followed up with a bonus short story, which I'll get into that a little bit later. But I didn't want to go a traditional route with putting this work out. I didn't just feel that it was ready for print only. So I took it to the next level and made it a book on CD. And as you've mentioned, Glenn, it is an innovative product. The book on CD, I wanted it to talk and speak to the listener's soul.
Well, it spoke. Well, you know what? It spoke. And it's amazing when you said that you kind of sat on it because you didn't know if it were ready. So I must say that I was thoroughly impressed by your innovative submission. And I've seen quite a bit. I mean, the first one was like Independent Woman with the light jazz music playing in the background as you delivered the poem in a delightful spoken word. So as I scroll down on each page of the PDF file that I got, the music changed, and you quoted another poem. And then I was sitting there going, whoa, this is amazing. And how unique. So how did you come up with such a wonderful concept?
Well, I'll tell you, there's a local jazz musician who actually is a longstanding artist, and his name is Henry Ashwood. And I went to Henry with my product and said, you know, this is where I am. You know, I want to put my poetry with this, and I got some fiction work I want to put with it. And he basically heard the beginnings of what I said I wanted to share with the world. And it was actually the poem My Quiet, which is number 6 on the CD. And he sat and he listened, and it was a very intense listening session, put it like that. And then he said to me, I have a CD, Neutral Zone, that I put out, a work that I put out after going through Operation Desert Storm. He went through the Gulf War. And his feeling was, I want to bring back something to make my mark on the world. So Henry Ashwood, the musician, gave me this backup. Basically, he was my backup music, the soundtrack. It's literally like the soundtrack for this CD is his entire work. And it was just such a harmonic blend of soul between my poetry and his jazz. And it's a completely different literary experience for a reader. If someone's a normal reader, it's sort of like taking a vacation to do this listening experience of this CD. Putting it together was, you know, I think poetry is wonderful, but it's a whole different thing when the jazz music is coupled with it. It just takes it to a whole new place. I mean, in your mind, you're just flowing to the music and going with the poetry. And as you mentioned, the poem Independent Woman, I was going to hide that somewhere in the CD, and somehow it made it to number one. And I know for a lot of women, it is a special thing. You know, I'm not necessarily saying that I'm a feminist, but I am fond of women who are strong and who are not ashamed of their strength and who stand on their own. And that's what that first poem, Independent Woman, says is, you know, here I am, woman, you know, take me as I am. And this poem, you know, for the listeners that are out there, you can hear the sample of the poem on the website, www.poetryvines.com, on my website, the word poet, the word tree, the word vines, vines.com. But just to give you a little bit of the poem, Independent Woman, it speaks to a woman making her own money, having her own thing, and not being afraid to be who she is.
Well, all right. So you know what? I need to make you blush for a moment.
Okay.
You have such a soothing and inviting voice, and that's what pulled me in. So how long did it take you to get it down? I mean, did you get it right on the first take on the majority of them, or did it take a couple of takes, or what, like you said, the collaboration between you and Henry Ashwood and then the music that was going on, did it just flow easy? What was that like? What was that creative process like?
Putting this piece together, Mr. Ashwood basically said to me that you are going to look at your poetry and see which pieces of the music go best with what. And I was intimidated. I was saying, no, I'm not ready. I came to you to basically be my sound. And he said, no, you're going to tell me what goes with what, you know. And from that, I think at that point, that sort of grew me up instantly that, you know, you're stepping out here in the big leagues. You got to get it right. And from that, I decided, okay, this is the sound that goes with that. This is the sound that goes with this. You know, each poem almost has its own story, literally. Each poem has its own story. And I was able, I think, to connect very well to the poetry right away, the sound and the feeling I wanted to convey with each one. I knew the poems that I wanted to be strong. I knew the poems that I wanted to be subtle. There are poems that I wanted to come across as submissive. You know, there are some that are slightly erotic and sexual. There are other ones that are political about the war, and those are completely strength-based. You know, there's nothing weak when you're talking about the economy and how we've suffered as Americans dealing with the war, the dual wars. And, you know, so each of these 21 poems have their own identity. You know, each of them are their own spirits unto themselves. And, you know, it's funny you say about how hard was it to get the poetry down. Poetry is really a very natural thing for me to do, so natural that I don't plan to do it for the duration of my career. I snuck in this 40-minute short story, which is track 22, the short story One Way or Another, from the book Twists and Turns on the Vine, a collection of short stories that I have. And I really wanted to reel my listeners in with the poetry, sit them back and relax them, and then take them on a trip with the story. And
you reeled me in. I'm going to tell you that right now.
that's wonderful to hear.
Okay, so this is what I'm going to do right now. It's a protected file, so I wasn't able to kind of get it downloaded onto the website so they would hear, but I just want them to hear the titles of these poems. So bear with me as I go through this impressive list of poems. And starting with number one, Independent Woman. Number two, Raised Up. Number three, A Weeping, Creeping, Needing Love. Four, The Poet. Five, Supa Man. Six, My Quiet. Seven, Do I? Eight, Close Encounters. Nine, Beaming Destination Unknown. 10, Who's Who and True. 11, We Shall Overcome. 12, Inopportune Part. 13, Salute. 14, The Ugly End. 15, Money Can't Buy Me Love. 16, My Saved People. 17, Ode to Hollywood. 18, I think it looked like 5.0 worldwide. 19,
yes.
All Things Black. 20, Soulmates. And finally, 21, Our Love Prayer. So I love the title. Which one of these is your favorite?
You know what? I really don't know. That'd be like saying which of your children is your favorite. I can share a little bit about some of these poems. You know, for example, number two, Raised Up. I'm not one of the, I don't believe in bashing anyone. So there are poems here that speak to my love experiences, the whole range of them, whether it's been strong and powerful love that has taken me to a new level, or whether it's love that has been, you know, rejected or dejected. There is sexual poetry. Raised Up is about a woman who has gotten strength from the man that she's been with. A Weeping, Creeping, Needing Love is about basically you loving a woman, loving a man who isn't loving her in return, and her going out seeking that love somewhere else. With no apologies, you know, with no apologies. You know, number six, My Quiet, I spoke a little bit about that one, but that poem has to do with, you know, a woman who is saying, you know, a lot of men want you to fall back and just wait on them to get ready for love, but in the meantime, a woman is questioning and second-guessing and saying, how is this really going to end up? And that poem is about saying that it's not going to end up anywhere, and at the end of the day, it's going to wind up being a loathsome period of self-hate, where the woman has just given her body and gotten no love in return. There are poems, The Beaming Destination Unknown is about using drugs. We Shall Overcome is, I had a buyer of the CD tell me, call me back and tell me that she felt that a lot of this poetry reminded her of Jill Scott Herring. And, you know, hear that the poetry takes somebody back to the 70s or to an artist that really moved them politically and emotionally, that was a high compliment.
Mm-hmm.
I would definitely say that Money Can't Buy Love, if I had to say there's one that I like a lot, Money
mm-hmm.
Can't Buy My Love, and that's basically saying that, you know, that poem starts off with, your money is funny, it's stay telling me jokes. Have you misunderstood? Have I misspoke about me, about you, my kids, your kids? And it's about this man who's thinking that he can take his money and buy my love. And basically I let him know in this poem that, you know, him giving me a signing bonus, giving me all the money he had, it didn't
yeah.
place an onus on me saying that I'm going to be with him. So if I had a favorite, it would be definitely Money Can't Buy My Love. But again, it's like having a baby or having two babies. You can't pick one over the other. But if I had
right.
to choose one, it would be that.
Well, you know what? Do you have one that you could recite in its entirety on hand, just out of curiosity? If you don't, that's okay. I didn't want to put you on the spot. But I'm letting you know the list. Uh-huh.
No, go ahead. No, I mean, you know, it's funny. I know them like the back of my hand,
mm-hmm.
but I definitely would not want to miss a line. So.
Okay, no, we don't want you to do that. But I'm going to let you know right now. It was beautiful poems set to beautifully powerful poems set to music. And when I sat there and I listened to them, and because I didn't know what to expect, to be quite honest with you. So as I sat and I started listening to Independent Woman, and then I scrolled down and the music changed to the other one and changed to coincide with the next poem, I was like, so this is like a music CD, but and it's not rap, it's poetry, you know. So did you pick the song that you wanted to go with the poem? Did the song just fit, and that's why you chose to go with that particular music for the particular poem?
Well, in taking, you know, what I had with Henry Ashwood and taking the background CD and,
mm-hmm.
you know, making it into and compiling it with my work, and I'm actually, you know, putting together, I'm sitting here now saying let me find a poem that I'm going to be able to recite. But I basically took songs that I thought matched love or songs that I thought matched what pain would sound like. I took his work and found pieces that I thought were, you know, befitting of each and every one of them. And I'm telling you, it just was, it was a combination that I couldn't match it if I would have tried any other way. His, like I said, his work, his background CD just took it to a whole nother level. You know, he has poems that were reminiscent of pain, poems that were reminiscent of love. It just, it ran the full gamut. It just, you know, took me places. So, I'll turn it back over to you.
Okay. Well, I'm just sitting here and I'm just amazed. I mean, I'm tingling all over. And right before the show started, I told you that I was a little teary-eyed because to me, I feel like God is here with us and blessing this show, because I'm letting you know right now for what I could do, you know, to get people to know the incredible collection that you have here with these poems and how relaxing it is, because you had mentioned something earlier about the economy and where things are right now, and it's almost like a form of meditation to be able to put this CD into the box, into the player, or people that are on long commutes to put this in and listen to the inspiration that is billowing out from the speakers with your lovely voice and how you quote it. I mean, anybody could read for the most part, you know, unless they're illiterate, you know, people can read, but it takes a special gift to be able to take words, especially words that you have written from your heart, and entertain people and inspire people. You know, so I want to know, when you wrote these poems, what emotions were you channeling? You know, I mean, did you cry when you wrote certain ones? Are there certain ones that really just hit home to you, to where, like you said, you know, you held them close to your bosom? Are there any in particular that just really hit you, to where, you know, you get your tingles or you get the tears in your eyes?
Well, you know what? I would say that the poems themselves, they came to me as each, I would say I would write them fresh. If an experience happened to me, I would write the poem fresh. I wouldn't try to wait and go back and capture that feeling at some other time. I would just go with it, you know, if no matter what it was or how it took it to somebody else, I would just, boom, there it is. You know, and it was definitely a successful thing to be able to get my feelings down and to go with it.
Well, you know what else I like too, because this was really a well thought out project. I mean, number 22 is a bonus short story narrated by you. And these are the quotes. It's Rosetta Thorne, a 29-year-old drug addict treatment counselor, is ready to overcome years of abuse at the hands of her stepfather, Mitchell Gordon, and change her life forever. And that's about 39 minutes and 52 seconds. So the summary alone is intriguing. Is this short story fiction or is it nonfiction?
Oh, no. The short story is absolutely fiction. The short story tends to play like it's fiction, but the short story is, I mean, like it's nonfiction, but it's absolutely fiction. The entire, from beginning to end, is fiction.
Mm-hmm. So, and what I believe as a writer myself, that fiction, the storyline may be made up, but certainly the realities within are taken from life experiences or things that we have witnessed along our journey on this road in life. So are there any similarities based off of what you've seen out there? Because it's a pretty universal story. I mean, as you know, and I have to say this, because I don't believe things happen by chance. You know, there's a movie that is getting ready to come out. Okay?
Right.
There's a movie that's getting ready to come out. It's from an old story called For Colored Girls Who Considered Suicide When the Going or the Road Got Tough. And that's what intrigued me and captured me with the title of yours. You know, so did you kind of feel that particular, I mean, did you ever read that collection?
You know what? I remember the title. Now, I copyrighted this back in 1998. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I've searched in my mind, did I remember the title? You know, did I've read so much in my life. I wondered, did I remember it? Did I miss it? You know, where did the inspiration come from? But with this, because I copyrighted it so long ago, it was, gosh, February of 1998, there wasn't a connection of the two at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized, I think that I had just gotten ready to get the final production back from the record company that I worked with, and I got an email one morning about 4 o'clock in the morning from Black Planet, from their news. And
mm-hmm.
at that point, I realized, wow, by the time that I'm releasing this, this movie will be getting ready to come out that shares a piece of a similar title, meaning the For Color Girls. That's the piece that it shares.
Right.
Right, for the For Color Girls, that beginning piece. But other than that, you know, there's no other connection than just that beginning piece. But in a divine way, perhaps there is a connection.
That's what I wanted to say. That's what I wanted
right.
to say. Yeah, yeah, exactly. So this Rosetta Thorne, okay, can you tell us a little bit more about her?
Yes, I can actually give you, if it's okay, I can give you the synopsis, you know, of this story. Basically, Rosetta Thorne is a 29-year-old drug treatment counselor, and her name is Rosetta Thorne, and her stepfather, Mitchell Gordon, has been molesting her since she was about 9 years old. Now, she's 29 when this story begins, and she's now caught up with him in a love affair. You know, she had an opportunity, obviously, becoming an adult at 18 to get out of this situation, but she is in love with him. But that's just the beginning of her troubles and her complications. She's in love with him. She also has a boyfriend, Nate Robinson, who's a fellow drug treatment counselor who has been in her life for 5 years, who's been trying to be supportive and help her get it together. And the final and third piece to that is that she has an additional guy that she kicks it with, and his name is Pharaoh, and he's actually her drug supplier, and she's been getting drugs from him for 14 years. So Rosetta, who's a drug treatment counselor, has a drug addiction and a sexual addiction between these three men. And the story starts with her deciding, I'm ready to turn my life around and not have this torrid sexual affair with my stepfather, who is also a law enforcement officer, who's getting ready to retire from Florida State Prison. And her stepfather has been promising for the better of 20 years to marry her when he retires. So
Wait a minute. Back up for just a second. Did you just say that her stepfather has been promising to marry her?
Yes, I did.
Wow. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so basically he's been promising to marry her for the better of 20 years when he retires. And his retirement is, you know, about 30 days away. So Rosetta is getting nervous. You know, she's wondering how is she going to deal with this? What is she going to do? And she decides that she's going to turn him in. And that's where the story starts. And the story starts with the Jacksonville State Attorney's Office leaving her a message telling her that they cannot prosecute Mitchell Gordon, who she filed a complaint against. And she now has to decide what is she going to do since they cannot prosecute him. But her what is she going to do is a twisting and turning. Remember, this story is coming out of my book, Twists and Turns on the Vine. And it is a twisting and turning love affair. But in the meantime, before she resolves the love affair, she's got to first resolve her own issues, which is her drug addiction and her sexual addiction.
And obviously her esteem issues and insecurities, most certain. Yeah, because if she was molested by, you know, this Mitchell Gordon character, and it's very twisted but very true in how we respond. And to me, it seems to me like the underlying theme with her is that her innocence was taken from her, and it really warped her mental. You know, as she, because this marriage thing that you were talking about with her stepfather promising her that. So was this the carrot that he dangled in her face that, you know, allowed her to continue on with this? Because you said she's 29 years old, right?
Right. She's 29 years old, but she hasn't taken it so much as a carrot as a threat. You know, how is she going to deal with this looming, ominous threat that he's going to marry her when he retires? And he's been promising her that, you know, he's in love with her. Her mother died about 11 years before this, you know, the beginning of this story, when she's 29. So her mother died when she's about 18. And she had her own chance at that point to get out of this love affair with him. But, again, she was caught up.
That's amazing. So as you were talking, I was looking at my notes, and I was looking at the poems, and then I was listening to the story, and what a cohesive project. So it wasn't that you just threw this short story on here just for the sake of it. It speaks to the poems, and the poem speaks to the story and what you were trying to convey, you know, to the reader. So there is, again, you know, a weeping, a creeping, and a needing love. That one really stands out, that creeping piece. You know, everything kind of goes together in this. So, again, for me, it's intrigued me so much that I have to listen to this story. As a writer, You know, I create my own stories, but it is always so inspiring to listen to and read some of what the other my fellow authors are out here putting out here. And I have to tell you right now that anyone, and I believe that it transcends, you know, sexes, you know, your story, you know, because this, you know, because this whole thing with her and this drug addiction, I know about drug addiction too, that it only compounds and suppresses the feelings that an individual has, you know, kind of numbing them to the core of why they're doing the things that they're doing because, wow, amazing. Okay.
You got to keep in mind, she's in love with him, you know, and she uses drugs to be able to maintain this affair that she has with him. So she's at a real crossroads in her life about making the decision to, what am I going to do about him?
Yeah, well, you know what? This is what I want to do now. I've taken callers in, on past shows, but I'm hoping that a caller will come in and, you know, ask you some questions because, again, I think that you're a phenomenal talent. I think that much of what you have out here right now is so needed in this world because there are so many people out here suffering. Here, let me see if we could take a caller. Hold on. There's a 215-921. Are you on?
Yes. Hi, GD. How are you? This is G.
Ms. Richburg, thank you
yes,
for joining the support of the show. Do you have a question? I'm doing
yes,
fine.
Yes. Ms. Davis, how are you?
I'm good. Ms. Judy, how are you?
I'm blessed. I'm listening to you know, what I've heard of, about your book so far. And when you touched on the drug addiction, I was like, wow, because, I mean, I know you don't know my story, but Author GD Grace does. And mine is the stepfather thing. You hit on my story, my real story of addiction. So, wouldn't you say, GD? I think when she just explained about her book, didn't that hit my story a lot?
Yeah.
I want to know, how did you come up with this concept for this book? Because it was just amazing. I was sitting here like, do this woman know me?
I have a brother who has struggled with addiction for many, many years. And as I, when I won the Black Writers Reunion Conference Scholarship this summer, I met a lady at the conference, Ms. Jackie was her name, and we talked about writing about hard characters. And I told her, I said, you know, I am 12 chapters into one book, you know, that I've put down, and I am probably 5 or 6 short stories into another one. And I said to her that I've never written about bad characters. It never occurred to me to write about a bad character. I don't usually do that. And when I got to writing this story, I wrote it when I came home from the conference, as I was driving from Atlanta through Jacksonville, I was writing this story in my mind. And when I got home and sat down and I started developing this character, Rosetta Thorne, and if you pay attention to the name, you know, she's a rosy thorn. You know, she's a thorny rose. I love to write about characters and really, you know, hide some little innuendos and meanings in there. I always try to put a name that if the person just, you know, spends a little time on it, they're going to pick up something else from it. But I started taking some of the characteristics of the addiction struggle that I've watched with my brother. And I was just able to, you know, being a witness, I was able to really birth these things into Rosetta Thorne and make her come to life based on what I've seen, just observing, you know, the terror of addiction. And in this story, you know, Rosetta, she goes through so much as a result of her addiction. But at some point, I think the people who are ready to get clean, there comes that middle of the road point where they say, okay, either I'm going this way or I'm going that. I'm either going east or west. I got to make a decision. You know, how am I going to change my life? And that character, her battle with addiction was the beginning and the end for her.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for answering my question. And I will definitely link up with GD and get your book. And I just wish you much luck. You know, you have shown great talent, you know, with writing just from what I heard. So I know it's going to be a great book. Much success to you. GD, this is a wonderful, wonderful interview.
Well, thank you very much, and I'm so glad and grateful.
I love you.
Well, I love you back, and I'm going to take another caller and hang in there. Okay, keep on listening.
All right.
Okay, here, let's try this one. Hey, we're on the live line with caller 973-676. Who's this?
Hi, it's Gwen. How are you?
Gwen, how are you doing? You are just such a faithful supporter of A Touch of Grace. Did you? And I want to thank you for that. Do you have any questions for this fabulous writer here?
I'm just listening, and I'm really intrigued by all of this. You know, it's really, really good to hear someone out there fulfilling, you know, their life's work. So, you know, just keep up the good work.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, Gwen, thank you. I'm going to go ahead and put you on mute again, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, I just love them. Oh, God, talking about supporters of this show. You see what I mean? Your story and what you have out here to present to the world is not a Band-Aid. You know, it is a remedy, you know, for people to be inspired, people who are going through their addiction, people who are going through their emotional struggles, people that are dealing with people who are going with both of those things, you know, to inspire them. So you really need to pat yourself on the back, Lynn. I'm going to let you know right now because I'm telling you, when this gets into, you're welcome. When this gets into the ears of listeners, I really know that it's going to be a food for the soul for them. So to switch up for just a minute, I have to make you blush again. I love that picture of you wearing that all white with the black top, classy necklace, and that power pose. Where was that taken?
My wonderful, wonderful photographer, Ross Lyon Photography, Rossi Denard. He's also on Facebook. It was taken downtown St. Petersburg, Florida.
Uh-huh. Is that where you're based out of, Florida?
Yes, yes, absolutely, yes.
Oh, and were you born in Florida?
I was born in Florida. I moved briefly to Georgia years and years ago when I was married, and then I came back to Florida and have raised my family here and worked my career here in Florida.
Mm-hmm. So now, is literary your dominant career, or is there something else that you do on the 9-to-5 grind?
No, on the 9-to-5 end, I have been doing training for a very long time. I've probably done training for over 50,000 people on interpersonal topics like psychosocial trainings, anger management, conflict resolution, employment-based trainings, those things. That's my bread and butter at this point. Before writing, that's my normal bread and butter.
So I would say that in the job that you do, it is like a vat or a wealth of inspiration. When did you know that you had the gift to write? At what age? How did it all begin?
You know what? It's so funny, Lynn. Probably, I think I must have started writing when I was 4 or 5 years old. I was one of those little girls who would have school. I would get my desk and my books, and I would call roll, and I would have conversations between myself, and I. And probably at about 14 years old, I started writing. And one of the first things that I put out publicly was to write the high school prom poem in the, you know, in the prom program. And
okay.
It was in 1989, and I wrote the prom program for Gibbs High School, in the high school that I went to. And from there, I wrote a few pieces that went into a school publication. But at the time, I used to read a lot of black history books and African-American classic novels, you know, the Man Child in the Promised Land and The Children of the Ham and Native Son and The Fire Next Time, and I used to read these things. So some of the poetry pieces I put out at that time were very controversial, to say the least, and so I had to learn how to tone it down a little bit. So even though this first work, this first poetry piece and fiction piece is straight from my soul, I have learned how to refine it absolutely have learned how to refine it. And I did come across a couple of pieces of work, if it's okay, that I can, you know, share with listeners, if that's okay.
You go for it.
The first one is A Weeping, Creeping, Needing Love. You wouldn't let me love you, so I looked and loved him. You wouldn't let me hold you, and he needed, and I held tightly to him. You wouldn't look me in the eye at the moment of truth, and he called out my name, my middle name too, describing the moment of truth as he lost himself in the deep waters of my soul, eyes wide open. He wasn't afraid to drown his heart into mine. You weren't ready to be one, but he found no need to be separate, functioning as two. So I let go of the love I once had for you. A weeping, creeping, needing love. The second piece is Do
That was wonderful, by the way. I'm going to tell you right now, I felt that one.
Thank you. Thank you. The second piece was actually an inspiration from my older cousin. We are like sisters, and she inspired this piece probably about 13 years ago. And this piece is called Do I? And it's also from the CD. And it's, do I come to your house and criticize? Get into your car and tell you how to drive? Do I get into your pocket and tell you how to bank? Do I invade on your thoughts and tell you how to think? Well, back up off me and let me be. Do I come to your house and ask you to clean? Do I ask you, is it PMS or are you just plain mean? Do I try to upset your groove thing? Do I try to stop you from growing and flexing your wings? Do I go to your church and try to blasphemize the religion in your head? Do I come over, look under the cover, and question who's in your bed? Do I try to provide for you and yours? Do I try to get under your skin, bust your pimples, open your pores? Stop asking why, when, and how. It's none of your damn business. I mean it. Stop it now. If I'm the devil, then I just am. Let me rot in hell. I just be damned. Do I?
Oh. Okay, I'm speechless. See, I'm so glad that you actually read a couple of poems because that part about popping the pimple, you get in there deep. So, you know, that begs the question. You said that you had to tone down your art. You know, you had to tone it down. Why did you feel the need to have to tone it down? Because you're good.
Well, you know, if you want to be mainstream, you have to make it at least a little bit palatable to people's, you know, mind. They can't go home with this singing. There is a poem that I'm looking at two of them right now that are on the CD, and, you know, there's some language, you know, that may set some people aback, and it's not even...
Oh, I see.
Right. It may only be two or three, there may be two or three words through the poetry part of the CD, but two or three for somebody could just be over the top. So, you know, I had to, as you mentioned about it being a classy piece of work, I had to put this together in a way that, you know, it could go onto anybody's shelf. You know, in the poem, the very first one, Independent Woman, it talks about my range going from the boardroom to the bedroom to the, you know, being bourgeoisie. I can go from the hood to the boardroom. I wanted this work to be able to hold its own, you know, to go places. So I did have to tone it down. You know, there was a time when I might have said 10 words that may have set somebody sideways. So I think for me to limit it on the CD to 4 or 5 words, That was a definite tone down, just so it could be, you know, acceptable by
well, I understand that because my aunt read some of the. She opened my book Ripped and Ready, and she said, "Ooh, you use a lot of curse words, you know." And as artiste, you know, I'm like Erykah Badu said, "I'm an artiste, and I'm real sensitive about my shit," is what she said.
Right.
You know,
right.
So you're absolutely right. You know, I realize too that, you know, as I move into deeper into the literary arena, that we do have to kind of, you know, edit, you know, because we just too real sometimes for
right.
the masses. you know, and if we plan on getting the work out there and reaching a number of people, then, yeah, I'm with you on that. Okay, so here, I have another question for you. Now, I love your quote, bearing fruit from the poet, the poetry vine. Now, what it means to me might be different. So what are you trying to convey with quote?
My Christian faith. My Christian faith has guided me, has taken me many places, and it goes with me with my literary work. And on my website, for example, I make it very clear to readers, to those that come across it, to, and I make it clear, I think, in the credits, in the way that I've structured everything, the way it's been put together, that God is my source, my strength. He guides me. The poetry vine is about me, basically. God gave me this gift, and I'm now finally being able to bear fruit from it, to be able to share with the world. So the poetry vine is, you know, when you see a vine, vines grow in any circumstances, whether they're on the ground, whether they're up against a building. And no matter the circumstances that I've been in, I've been like a vine. I've been steady growing and spreading my wings. And there is a particular biblical quote, a Bible verse, that I think really speaks to this bearing fruit, being able to share this fruit with the world.
I hear you. Well, you know what? I feel that your work should be in millions of CD players because your collection is absolutely inspiring, relaxing, and exquisite, you know, regardless of the content in certain parts of the poem that touches on darker sides of life. But I believe that the overall outcome is an inspiration piece that people will get into and that people can sit and soak in and get something out of it to help them along in their struggles. And so I'm going to make sure that I post your info onto my WordPress blog, which is http://author2be, that's A-U-T-H-O-R, the number 2-B-E, .wordpress.com. And that blog is actually approaching 10,000 readers right now. So, you know, it definitely is an honor for me to post more information about your incredible work. So as we kind of wind down, because, my God, we could go on for another hour because you have just that much of a story to tell. I mean, there are other questions that I didn't write down that came up as you spoke, especially when you were talking about some of the authors that you have read, like Manchild in the Promised Land. Now, I wrote that one down because as I grow in the literary, I certainly want to reach back in time and look at some of the incredible works by people in the past that have, you know, put their souls out there and their legacies that they left behind for us. So what words of wisdom would you like to leave for all the listeners who tuned in to A Touch of Grace to listen in on the incredible story of author Lynn L. Davis? What kind of wisdom would you like to leave them?
Well, I'm going to fall back on my faith, my spiritual beliefs. And, you know, because I want to say without my spiritual beliefs, I would be nowhere and be nothing. Because if I would have left it to myself, I would have continued to hold on to my literary work and not share it with the world. But, you know, God opened the door for me this summer to be able to have not just the desire but the passion to go forward as well as to have the finance. You know, finances are going to move dreams forward. And I would definitely like to leave with listeners this biblical quote that I mentioned to you a minute ago. And I want to just share this, and it's from my website, and it's about poetry vines and just my inspiration. But poetry vines is a freeing, unguarded, unashamed, as it stands in the light of truth experience that I want to share with readers. It's a combination of poetry as well as, you know, it's a combination of my fiction work. Many of the characters that I write about in general embody my Christian faith. And this verse is my confirmation that I'm walking on my destined path. And it's John 15:5. I'm a branch of Jesus Christ, the true vine, and a channel of his life. And the rest of it is, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. My literary work is all about God saying to me, move forward and share this with the world. I gave this to you to be able to entertain, enlighten, strengthen, and renew somebody else's soul, and just in feeling good about life. You know, so often we have so many things that burden us. I want my words to lift people up, to make them feel good, to make them say, you know what, that moves me. That's the kind of work that I want to leave with listeners and readers. Again, it's a book on CD, but it's not a traditional book, and it's not a traditional CD. It's a eclectic mix of things that I think people need to take them to a whole nother level.
Oh, you got me wiping my eyes up in here. I felt what you said. I really do feel that passion and that sincerity and that honesty coming from you. And my sister, I am so honored to have had you on my show this evening. I mean, I'm tingling. You know, the tears are welling up in my eyes as I hear you speak of your commitment and your compassion for the human experience. And I am just in awe to meet another beautiful spirit here on this this globe that graced me with her presence and graced these listeners with realism, you know, realism and a purpose, you know. So this is what I want to say. Thank you, Lynn, for being a guest on A Touch of Grace. You are remarkable. The doors are always open. And I just want to plug this one more time. This extraordinary project, it's called For Colored Girls Who Struggle and Pale Girls Who Juggle, Poetic Works for the Daily Celebration of Womanhood. And Lynn, would you do the listeners the honor once again of saying where they can get your book at? What's the web address?
My website is www.poet, the word tree, and the word vines, vines.com. It is also available on amazon.com for colored girls who struggle and pale girls who juggle. So my website as well as on amazon.com.
All right. Again, I want to thank you. Well, you know what? Another show is now a part of history. And I'd like to thank everyone for tuning in. And please tune in on next Tuesday, 11/2, for another inspirational interview with another phenomenal woman. And by her name is Paulette Harper, author of Completely Whole. And then on Friday, 11/5 next week, for the interview with the charismatic author of Finesse in the Game. And his name is Kimothy A. Clark. So this is author G.D. Grace saying, ciao for now. The ones you love, hold them close. The ones you don't know, give them a smile, because you just never know. It just might make someone's day. And God bless you. And Lynn, God bless you too.
Thank you, and God bless you for having me on the show. And thank your listeners for tuning in. Thank you so much for inviting me, Glenn. Thank you.
You're welcome. And keep in touch with me, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Have a beautiful evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.